Well, for some time now we have been considering together the subject God and nothing. And it is amazing and astounding what God does with nothing. He brought the whole creation into existence from nothing. Last night I was listening to a program, The Origin of the Earth. And they said that the earth started out as a primordial soup. But they never told us who made the soup. But our Bible says in the beginning, God. And we thank God for that knowledge. And we saw that God does amazing things with nothing. And then we saw next that God uses people who are considered nothing to perform his great works. We think of Gideon threshing wheat to hide it from the enemy. He himself was hiding. And the angel of the Lord came and said to him, "Thou great man of valor." Little fellow in hiding. And the Lord says, "It's a great man of valor." And Gideon said, "How can that be? My family is the least family in Israel, and I'm the least in my family." Those are the ones that God uses. Those that the world considers as nothing. And we looked at several others. Now tonight we want to look at the greatest example of them all. And by way of introduction to our subject, turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." And it is that example that we want to trace tonight, at least in part, of his lowliness, his meekness, and in the eyes of the world, his nothingness. And then we will see what God did for him and with him. Psalm, please, 22. Psalm 22. Verse 6, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, "I am a worm and no man." That was the position of the Lord. That's what they thought of him when he was here. You know what we think of worms? Not very much. We see them. We step on them. We don't make much of them. That's what they thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a worm. Chapter 69, please. Chapter 69, verse 8. Again, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, "I am become a stranger unto my brothers." That's pretty sad. You're in the family, you have brothers, sisters, and they don't recognize you. You're an oddball. And that's what they thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't think much of him. Even his brothers did not think much of him. Isaiah chapter 52, please. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. Isaiah 52. Verse 14. "As many were astonished at thee, his visage, his face, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Or as it might read, "His visage was so disfigured that he didn't look like a human being." You say, is that possible? I remember one Sunday morning I was on emergency duty at one of the hospitals in New York City. And on the stretcher they brought an object, and that's all I can tell you. When I looked at the object, it wasn't a question, was it male or female? The question was this a human being? That face looked like the face of a wolf. So distorted and so disfigured. And when they finished brutalizing the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't look like those beautiful pictures that you see and those beautiful sculptures hanging on the cross with a human face. The Lord was so brutalized, he didn't look like a human being. And all of those pictures by the great artists, Raphael, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, they're all wrong. When the Lord was on that Christ, on that cross, you could not recognize him as being a human being. Isaiah chapter 53. Yes, 53. 53, verse 2. The latter part of verse 2. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't attractive. He wasn't handsome. He wasn't a Hollywood figure. He was unattractive. In contrast to that, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. We might start at verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 9. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Asher, a Benjamite, a man mighty in power. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, goodly. There was not among them in the children of Israel a good, oh, he was a handsome, best looking fellow in the community, from what we read here. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Chapter 10, verse 23. And they ran and fetched him, Saul. When he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. Oh, what a fellow Saul was. In my day, young ladies would call a man like him a hunk. Handsome. Beautiful. But the Lord Jesus has nothing to attract people to him. The Lord was not handsome. Lowly. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have any property. Quite a fellow, huh? Wasn't handsome, didn't have anything. That's pretty low. Chapter 13, please. Verse 53. It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't he the carpenter's son? He doesn't amount to much. Wasn't handsome, wasn't attractive. And as for background, his father was just a carpenter. Oh, my. How low. And this was the creator of heaven and earth. And that's what people thought of him when he was down here on earth. He was just a carpenter's son. Chapter 26, please. Verse 49. Chapter 26, verse 49. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. The proper interpretation that he didn't kiss him, well, he kissed him repeatedly. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck a servant of the high priest, and smote over his ear. And then you read the rest, they arrest him. I want to make one comment on this, because I think it has a meaning for me that many would not appreciate. Luke chapter 22. Here he is being arrested. And one of his servants smites the ear of the high priest's servant. Mark chapter 22, verse 47. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 22. Excuse me, please. Verse 47. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus and kissed him repeatedly. What a speaker he was. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far, and he touched his ear and healed him. Beloved, let me tell you, that's a masterpiece of surgery. Pardon, not surgery, creation. The hardest part of the human body to reproduce exactly is the human ear. Getting all those curves and all those little valleys, you might call them. The human ear is the single hardest part of the human body to reproduce exactly. There's a doctor out of Massachusetts, and he specializes in ears. And when he's finished with an ear, it never looks like the other ear. Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus. He touched his ear. You see, if I had to do it, I would ask where the ear that fell. The Lord didn't ask for that. He touched his ear and made a new ear. Isn't that majestic? That's divine. When he was under pressure from his enemies, how low he went. How much he tolerated from the creatures whom he created. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Verse 21. Now this verse, all of our Bibles don't read the same. The old King James reads as follows. When his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he's crazy. Now, your Bible says his friends. The better translation, his relatives, that's by Greb. His blood relatives, by Wiest. His kinsmen, his own people. His own people said he was crazy. Isn't that sad? You're in the family, and your own people don't even respect you, have no use for you. And we shall see later that they called him other names. What abuse he took. How little men thought of him. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Child, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth. They didn't understand him, but he was subject to them. An obedient child. I thank the Lord for the children in this assembly. God bless the children and God bless the parents. But in general, children aren't subject to their parents. They go into the public schools and shoot other people, including the teachers. The Lord was subject to his parents. But we go on. Oh, chapter 7, please. Chapter 7. Verse 34. Let's start at verse 30. The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him, of John the Baptist. Verse 33. John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say he has a demon. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man. What an insult. That's what people thought of him. He was a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, and a friend of sinners. They didn't think much of him, did they? How low could they get? John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. Verses 45 and 46. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? My. Two things characterized Nazareth in that day. Godlessness and worldliness. Godliness and immorality. Nazareth was the sin city of that day. And that's where the Lord came from. You wouldn't think much of him, would you? You see, I'm from New York City. They call it the Big Apple. But the truth of it is, it's the rotten apple. And that's where I'm from. So at first glance, you wouldn't think much of me. And they didn't think much of the Lord. He came from Nazareth, a godless and immoral place. They didn't think much of him. John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. And this is a lovely one. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. What a lovely person. Obedience to his parents. We don't see too much of that today. Except perhaps in godly homes. The Lord was obedient to his parents. He was not self-willed, as are so many children today. What I want, I want. I want what I want when I want it. That's the attitude of most children. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not self-willed. Chapter 7, please. Verses 1 through 5. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see thy works that thou doest. There is no man that doeth anything in secret, but he himself seeketh to be known openly. If you do these things, show thyself in the world. Verse 5, for neither his brethren believed in him. His brethren didn't think much of him. We saw that in Mark chapter 3. What a situation. In a family, growing up with his brothers, and they scorn him. Terrible. I thank the Lord I grew up in a happy family. There were 5 boys and 2 girls. Or as my father used to say, I have 1 wife, 5 boys, 2 girls, a dog and a cat. And we all got along nicely. But his brothers did not believe in him. How do you think you felt in a home like that? All these brothers around, and he's the one they scorn. Not because he did anything, but because he was just and good. Such dislike by his own brothers. Verse 15 of chapter 7. The Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He didn't go to Harvard or Yale or any of the big schools. How does he know so much? What makes him think he's smart? He isn't educated. Oh, my. Do you see what I'm getting at, beloved? Oh, they belittled the Lord Jesus Christ. Belittled him terribly. He was uneducated. And what did God think of it? What was God's evaluation of it? Philippians chapter 2. Man didn't think much of it. His brothers didn't think much of it. His family didn't think much of him. His enemies thought nothing of him. He was a worm. What did God think of it? Philippians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 5. We know this well. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And for the Bible students, I'm going to pose a question. Study it when you go home. Why does it read here Christ Jesus, and in other places it reads Jesus Christ? What's the difference? That's for homework. Let's go on. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. We've been reading about it. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We haven't gone into that. We'll have to go into... There are two things about the Lord that were very unfair. You know, we talk today a lot about civil rights. I want my civil rights. As I've told Brother George, we have a sister in New York, and she complained to the elders, "You are denying me my civil rights." And one old brother said, "Sister, the only right you have is to die and go to hell. That's your right." Talk about civil rights. The Lord never got civil rights. His trial in two phases was illegal. The first trial was by the Jews in three parts. The second part occurred at night. It was illegal to try a man at night. You talk about civil rights. The second trial was by the Gentiles under Pilate. Twice Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Well, if the judge finds no fault in him, what is he supposed to do? Dismiss him. Oh, but he didn't do that. The trial of the Lord Jesus Christ was illegal. We'll touch that on that sometime. The crucifixion was illegal. What we read on in Philippians, he suffered all these things. Verse 9, wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him not a name, the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every name should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He who went so low, underneath my depth of woe, he's going to be exalted to the highest place in creation. You remember what we read in the Song of Solomon? He is the fairest, outstanding among 10,000. You imagine a crowd of 10,000 people and you can pick out one there? And when you turn to the book of the Revelation, you know how you're going to tell them the Lord Jesus Christ? By the print of the nail in his hand and the wound in his side. There is not another like him. My Lord, who suffered, and if we suffer with him, we too will be exalted one day. Now, before we sing a hymn, I think we have about 6 minutes, I want to read for you one of my favorite tracts, called The Incomparable Christ. Anybody here familiar with it? Somebody must. Oh, that's surprising. The incomparable Christ. More than 2,000 years ago, a man was born contrary to the laws of nature. The man lived in poverty, we've seen that, was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived. That was during his childhood when he was in exile in Egypt. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. We've seen that. His relatives were inconspicuous and had neither training nor formal education. In infancy, he startled the king. Do you remember that? In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. Walked upon billows as if pavements and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. Wouldn't that answer the problem today? Medicare, Medicaid. He healed them and made no charges for his service. He never wrote a book. Yet all the books in the libraries of the world could not hold the books that had been written about him. Quite a man, isn't he? He never wrote a song. Yet he has furnished a theme for more songs than anybody else. He never founded a college. And he's got more pupils in the world than any big school that ever existed. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun. And yet no leader has more volunteers who have made under his orders more rebels to rebel and surrender without a shot being fired. He never practiced psychiatry, yet he healed more broken hearts than all the psychiatrists today. Aren't you glad to say that he's your Lord? My, my, my. What a Lord. They don't think much of him now. But the time is coming. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And you know, I'm a little selfish about that. I may be wrong. But I know some fellows, few doctors among them, didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's all nonsense, all nonsense. Now, I may be wrong, but I'm waiting to see them bow before the Lord. Maybe I'm selfish. Men who hated the Lord, spoke ill of the Lord, they're going to bow, and they're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. In the last few weeks, they've been making a great to-do about a man they call the Pope. And they've been saying how influential the Pope is, the millions that he influenced, yes, for wrong. Do you know who the most influential man that ever walked this earth is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Easter. It's because of him. Celebrated worldwide. Christmas. It's because of him. Celebrated worldwide. The calendar. We date the calendar B.C., before Christ, and A.D., year of our Lord. Today is April the 13th, 2005. A.D., and every time you write a letter and put an address on it, every time you write a check and put a date on it, I should say, you are recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ. His influence has been greater than that of any person in the world. I'm going to stop. This man who went so low, he's the highest that will ever be. Oh, let's sing, please. Number 529, must Jesus bear the cross alone? While all he saves go free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Beloved, let's bear the cross. He bore it. The day of reward is coming. I can't think of anything better. I think of some of these poor people out there in California and other parts of the world. Oh, this boy, Michael Jackson, his name is. Poor fellow, I feel sorry for him. He's wasting his life. He needs salvation. And all these CEOs, all caught in crime. And the lady there, Martha, whatever her name is, caught in crime. Good to be saved. Thank the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father, with joy, with great satisfaction, we bow in thy holy presence and give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the promise of a place in heaven with him. Meanwhile, we are here on earth. He has told us that we will have troubles, testings, and trials. But with it all, he will bring us through. Again, we thank thee for our coming together. We ask that thou wouldst dismiss us with thy richest blessing resting upon us. Take us home in peace and safety. And to thy name we give thanks, praise, honor, and glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.